All right, let's have a Bible study. How's that? Let's open our Bibles tonight. We're going to go tonight in the fourth chapter of Revelation. And this is, I have to tell you, some of the most thrilling study that the Lord has quickened my heart with over my life. And that's really getting a vision of the different companies in heaven. And how glorious each and every company is, and how distinct and separate in the glory that's bestowed to them. Now, again, we're always one in Christ, don't get me wrong. But there's a perfection in the order that these companies are going to be seen. There's a meaning to each one of them. There's the rank, there's the purpose. And I thank God because it just layers and layers that glorious revelation of Him and His love to us. And I believe by God's grace, if He tarry, that the Holy Ghost is going to open up even more intimate details hidden in this precious word. Just again, more layers of that wonderful truth that we know and that He wants us to know. But as we begin here tonight in Revelation 4, let's kind of put this into perspective, what's just happened. I'd love to go back and go from Revelation 1:1 with you, but we're kind of pressed for time, so I'll give you a little update. But basically, at this moment of this writing, the first trump has just sounded. The church age, praise be to God, has just completed, and the Lord's day has begun. And the beginning of the Lord's day is at that first trump, brothers and sisters, and don't be misled in thinking anything otherwise. But the rapture of the bride at that first trump has just occurred, and John, as it says in our text here, has been taken in spirit, and he is beholding a throne that is set before him and set in heaven, and upon that throne is Jesus Christ. Now we'll begin reading verse 1 of chapter 4. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And see, when that door opened, that's that first trump rapture. See, the Lord can open that door at any time, as He did for precious Enoch, as He did for precious Elijah, as we will read and get excited about, and what He's about to do for us, God willing. Amen? Amen. But this door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me. See, that trumpet's got to talk to you, or you're never going to hear it. Are you listening for it? Huh? You know what I'm saying. See, loving His appearing. It's all there. So magnificent how each and every line has such great meaning, because this is the Word. Which said, and what did that voice say? Come up hither. And I will show you the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now we're going to get back to this verse, but I want you to know there's another that is also of that jasper and sardine, and happens to be his wife, we'll read about. She's like him, isn't she? It's wonderful stuff. As we go along, it's hard not to make mention of a few things. But then, here we go, verse 4, and this is where we're going to focus tonight. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Praise the Lord. Now, these 24 elders are the first company that John describes as this vision and is given to him. And so wonderful to first note that they have these gold crowns upon their head. They are clothed in white. And as it says of these ones in Revelation 5:9, if you can just fix your eyes over there. They sing a song that says that they were redeemed to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. So right there, cast out any thoughts that this is some type of company of angels or some type of mystic creatures. We know that only people, a human, can be redeemed by the blood. And we're so thankful to God that these are saints because they are redeemed by the blood. So thankful that this is to the point very quickly here. But then these saints are exalted, praise be to God. They have crowns, and these aren't just any type of crowns, brothers and sisters. These are the Stephanus crowns, as it says this in the Greek. And what a Stephanus crown is the champion's crown. It's the overcomer crown. It's the great exalted reward crown. So this is something that's even beyond any type of reward. It's the ultimate that could be received by a group competing for something. And notice as well, they have white robes, speaks of the righteousness of God, and that they are seated, as it says here, and they're sitting upon these seats. And this word seats means they are seated upon thrones. So we understand that they have these golden crowns, they have these white robes. They're seated upon thrones. So there's great authority that is given to them. And they're very close, praise God, to God. Matter of fact, they're seated around our Lord and Savior. I want you to kind of think in a way, you think of the old times of the king and how he would have his round table. How precious that group of the mighty men would be around the king in that manner. Now, who are these 24 elders? And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God doesn't leave any guesswork in this. He hits it right on the head, and this is something I believe that some try to wrestle with in different ways, and I do want to say this as kindly and respectfully as I can, because someone said something or thought something, it does not necessarily mean it's exact unless the Word of God said it so. I just want to really emphasize that tonight. This isn't speaking of me or of anybody else. We want the Word of the Lord and by His grace to have it rightfully divided. And as we go along, I'm so thankful to God. It's not new truth, brothers and sisters, but we get more substantiated in the truth. The light upon light, it becomes brighter. He reveals, yes, even the hidden things by His Spirit. And I thank God, and I do want to emphasize, and I do believe this very clearly. There is no new truth. There is no new truth. But you will see more of the truth. Let me tell you, you'll understand the more you see, the more that you know you don't know. And that there is more to see. It's like getting into that vast room of wealth and understanding that, my goodness, how much there is. And then you walk into that thing and you realize it's endless. And that's exactly what the Word of God remotely is. It's so far beyond that. But these precious elders, brothers and sisters, represent a royal company of saints that first appear in heaven. So to find out who they are, and I am so thankful to the Word of God, it's all in the name. Praise the Lord, it's all in the name Jesus. But as He gives this precious group a name, it's in the 24 elders, and what they represent and what that means is the significance in that name, 24. I want you to turn with me to 1 Chronicles. And in 1 Chronicles, chapter 24, yes, we'll go ahead and read there. And this is the division of the sons of Aaron into the lot of 4 and 20 orders. Now let's go ahead and read this together. Now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron, of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. Therefore Eleazar and Ithamar executed the priest's office. And David distributed to them both Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Amalek of the sons of Ithamar, according to their offices in their service. And there were more chief men round of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar. And thus were they divided among the sons of Eleazar. There were 16 chief men of the house of their fathers, and 8 among the sons of Ithamar, according to the house of their fathers. Thus were they divided by lot, one sort with another. For the governors of the sanctuary and governors of the house of God were of the sons of Eliezer and of the sons of Ithamar. And there were 24 of them, brothers and sisters, here. And if you look up that word, governors, that means rulers or princes under a king. Now think of that. Rulers or princes under a king. Now, the 24 elders, obviously seated round about that wonderful throne with crowns. We understand this. Rulers, princes under a king. The only thing that could be higher or greater in rank would be the queen, which they are not part of because they are under the king. All right? I think the detail is so beautiful of the Word of God and how it substantiates itself in its layers. As you go down to the bottom, it lists all of the different names and different things. But as you go down to the 19th verse, it says, these were the orderings of them in their service to come into the house of the Lord according to their manner under Aaron their father, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded him. So, brothers and sisters, here it is. The 24 officers of the sanctuary representing the 24 courses of the Levitical priests. And this was God's choice in the Old Testament of the priestly order. That's the significance of that number 24. There's meaning in numbers, obviously. And there's meanings, great meanings in numbers in the Word of God. They always mean something. And this 24 always refers back to the Levitical priesthood. So we know, first of all, in the name 24 elders, we have the number 24 that refers back to this. So if you'll jump back again to Revelation chapter 5, let's look what it says in the 10th verse about these. So we read the 9th verse a moment ago. It says, and they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take this book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So we know that this company, obviously, are redeemed saints. They're saved ones. And here we go. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, praise be to God, I know exactly who those priests are. And I'm thankful to the Lord that, again, the 24, the priestly order, is representative of, again, this company of saints that will be the full overcomers of the Old Testament time. Now, let's stay with this because we don't just have one word here. We actually have two. We have 24 and we have elders. And this is even going to give us more evidence in the definition as to the referring of this glorious company of the full overcomers in the Old Testament. So let's go to the place where it speaks of these particular elders, and that's no other than in Hebrews chapter 11. So let's go over there. And again, this is our chapter of the Word of God, the Old Testament Hall of Fame. The Faith Hall of Fame, because that's the only reason there would be any glory to God in that, is it has to be by faith. And we're thankful to the Lord for that. So this, again, this chapter is truly even dedicated to those that will be making up the 24 elders. It won't be just this group that's mentioned here, but they will be like them. They will be the ones that have allowed the Word of God to work effectually in their life to the point where their life truly lived by faith. That they believed God for things, that they overcame. They were of the ones like a Caleb, praise God, were well able to take it. The ones like a David, of great failure, but yet they knew the faithfulness of God, that in his faithfulness he hath afflicted me. So these are the ones, praise God, that would be in like type to that. But in verse 1 here it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now listen to this. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now that seems like such a little simple verse there. But let me tell you something, that's a mighty verse. First of all, a good report, as we would look at it, is quite an understatement. You know, somebody said, well, did you get a good report? Yeah, I got a good report. This is speaking of an inspiration to the height of heights. This is talking about ones that truly are driven in their life by truth and love. Ones that truly have fallen in love with Christ as their first love. And praise God that there was that type and that love that was to the fullest that it could be achieved at that time in the Old Testament, that these ones went all the way. They met God, praise the Lord, with everything in grace God had intended them to be met with Him. And it's wonderful in that, that God again showed us that there were full overcomers even in that type of the Old Testament, and what the work of grace did in their lives to give them this exalted rank. And how precious, brothers and sisters, as it says here, how did they get it? How did they have this good report? They got this good report all the same way we get our good report, and that is through the Word of God and the Word of His grace that builds up that wonderful inheritance in our life. But that word elder even specifically means aged. It specifically means, even in this case right here, members of the 24 of the earthly or heavenly Sanhedrin priests. So without doubt, brothers and sisters, this group of 24 elders is speaking of Old Testament worthies of faith. You can't bend anything else into that. It's so specific in its meaning. It's so exact. And it is so important because these companies are separate. And brothers and sisters, if somehow, some way, we're bringing in the Old Testament saints in a glory that God has specifically given and will give to His bride, then the Word of God would not line upon line itself perfectly. Because we know that the only way that the bridal message could be revealed is by the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has to be the one that takes the things of Christ and makes them real to us, shows them unto us, makes them known to us, takes us all the way along on that journey, guides us, leads us into all truth. That's the word of the Lord. Amen. And in that, it was only after Pentecost did that power for that purpose come and dwell in man. Praise God. And we're thankful for that. So again, this is so important. And I do believe, yes, God is in the details. These are beautiful things to see and to rejoice and glory in. Not for head knowledge, my goodness, what a waste that would be. But for the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, of His love to us. And again, how wonderful these things so perfectly line up, all because of the Word of His grace. Now, I want you to see this as well too, that even though, and we rejoice in this verse often and many times in this 11th chapter, but some that might be here tonight that haven't read through this and aren't as familiar with this, after it goes through this 11th chapter of Hebrews, and it talks of these worthies of faith, these ones that will achieve by God's grace, that have achieved this high calling in the Old Testament of the worthies of faith that have, thank God, have allowed that grace to work in their lives to have that full reward that was offered into this 24 elder company. It still yet says in the 40th verse of the 11th chapter to us, listen, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect or complete. Now, and I could start whipping off names here like Isaac and Jacob and Moses and all that, but some of you might get a little big-headed tonight. But this is what it is. This is the word of the Lord. And I thank God. We're in a very trying time, brothers and sisters. We're in a time of really the greatest of faith. We're in the time that evil is breaking forth and about to break forth like no other time on this earth. Let me tell you something. When he that hinders is taken out of the way, and you know who's hindering, that's the bride of Christ. When that exit happens, the devil will come forth like a roaring lion. This world has never seen that until God has that purpose come forth. So, what a time we are in, and how thankful to God we are for His grace. So now, we understand who this company is, but how and when did they arrive? So in this, I want to go over to Matthew 27. So let's go on over to Matthew 27. And how wonderful this portion of text is. This is the death and finishing victory of our Lord, the moment the cry of Te Eloi, it is finished. And in the 27th chapter of Matthew, and in the 51st verse, as that point in that Christ Jesus cried with a loud voice and yielded up his ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. Okay, the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now this is very, very important, and these words are very, very important in their meaning to us, brothers and sisters. But it does say that many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now, this portion of Scripture contains even more meaning and depth here than just when Christ Jesus led captivity captive that you'll read about in Ephesians 4:8, when Jesus Christ took upper Sheol and took it into heaven. At that time, brothers and sisters, and I'm sure most of us here tonight are very aware of this, when the Old Testament saints would pass, they would go to the bosom of Abraham, or upper Sheol, and that was in the earth. And upper Sheol was, if you want to say the upper, and it means upper hell, was the part that God had preserved that would be, again, for his saints that were at that point of upper Sheol in that hellish place. But yet, it still was a place of peace. It was a place of rest because God had prepared it for those that would believe in him, that would pass away before Christ Jesus had died and would ascend to heaven. At that time, too, there was the lower Sheol, which still exists today, which is the lower hell. And we know that in the story of Lazarus, where that man asked Lazarus to touch his finger in the water and touch it to his tongue, because he was so thirsty, that there was a chasm between the two that no one could cross. You could never go back or forth. And it was this point here, brothers and sisters, that Christ Jesus, again, he's the first fruits, going up into heaven when he led captivity or upper Sheol, and he took it captive and he took it with him as he went into heaven. But I want you to understand that even though this is speaking of and referring to this time when Christ Jesus took the upper Sheol to heaven, so glorious here is it even showed at this time there were differing ranks. There was a differing glory. There was a differing time in a sense of a resurrection, because it says many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose. Not all of the saints that slept arose. Praise God. Sounds a little familiar with 1 Thessalonians 4:5, doesn't it? See, this isn't going to catch people that are expecting and looking and loving and longing for him unawares. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's a loving God. And he's shown you that not only can he do something, he may do it again, but he's going to do it in a greater manner. But this is very important here, that we see that there was an overcoming rank, even in those that were asleep in Christ, of those Old Testament saints. At that time, many of those graves were opened and they arose. So I thank God for that. And again, he gives us such a type and shadow of what we're looking for in the coming of the Lord. And yet, we understand that there's much more rank offered to us in this day. Not only as these 24 elders that are around a throne, by the grace of God, as we get into the four living ones, we know that that group is the only group that's in the midst of the throne, seated together with him in the midst of the throne, ruling and reigning jointly with Christ Jesus as husband and wife, Praise God for that glorious bridal company. But I don't want to get ahead in that, but it's hard not to. But the various ranks are mentioned, brothers and sisters, and typed over and over and over in the Word of God. And we, in what the Lord has shown us that we know, we still haven't seen anything yet. And I thank God that it's so exciting to wait on the Lord in His Spirit as He continues to reveal things to us. But in rejoicing tonight in this first company that's seen in heaven of these overcomers of the Old Testament, the Lord's led us to go over to 1 Kings chapter 8. So let's go on over there. And I think you'll delight in some of the things the Lord will bring out to us in this. And this is about the ark being brought into the tabernacle. And we'll go ahead and read from the fourth verse of the eighth chapter. And it says, "And they brought up the ark of the Lord." And remember, the ark of the Lord speaks here of the presence of God. And thanks be to God that this is such a precious type of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. "But they brought up the ark of the Lord and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those did the priests and the Levites bring up." There they are again, those 24, bringing up the things for the house of God. "And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel, they were assembled unto them, were with him before the arks, sacrificing sheep and oxen, that they could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims." Now, think of what we just read there. The priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place. See, the priests, the 24, is what I want you to kind of think of this company. They're the ones that are always ushering in the Lord. And what a precious type again, brothers and sisters, that we just read about, even when Christ went into heaven in a sense. Now we know he's the first fruit, but praise be to God, there was the Old Testament overcomers with him going in. It's still that vision, and it's still that type of the priest, that 24 elder company, always ushering in a sense, the Lord. And someday, praise God, they'll usher him in again, as especially into this type, into the fullness of the sixth and the seventh verse of what we just read. Because think of this. The priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord into his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. Amen. I'm telling you what, all I can think of is when we meet him in the clouds. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. That's, again, 1 Thessalonians 4, brothers and sisters. Whether it's Revelation 1:7, Luke 21:27, or Revelation 10:1, he cometh with the clouds. Praise God. I thank him for this. See, those again are the 24 elders, that company that's going to descend with him out of heaven as he gathers up his glorious bride. Now, before we close here tonight, I do want to make mention that even though the 24 elders have such a glorious place, and even here in 1 Kings 8, they can in no way compare with what the bride, the living ones, the cherubim, experience with him. And I'd like to go on even a little further in this text. Again, not to jump ahead, but there's so much in context with magnifying God's glory. And I thank the Lord that even in the Old Testament, as we went back and we studied the cherubim and the seraphim, I don't know if you remember those studies. I encourage you. I think they're still on the website, and it'd be a good thing to listen to those things and the truth that God was bringing out to us at that time. But this type and this glorious invitation that he wants us to take into the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, he wrote about it from Genesis 1:1. I thank God it's all there. It's all there. But let's go on reading again to the end of this chapter. I think it'll just encourage you. And brothers and sisters, as the Lord's encouraged my heart, as we go through these studies of these different companies, and we're going to take a little bit more time, especially with the four living ones, can you imagine? But there's some glorious truths in this Old Testament, in the details that are in the ark itself, in those staves that are, I believe that we will take flight into new heights as we see the precious truth of being pierced with him upon that cross, that precious rib portion, that side, that you'll just see the beauty, the intimacy in this love letter, because this is what this is. I want you to understand this. These aren't just words. This isn't just a study. This is his love letter to you. As the Holy Spirit opens this up and starts ministering this to us, you just start to begin to receive, shed abroad in our hearts, the great love wherewith we are loved. Honeys, I want you to know this. I want you to see this. I've been writing about you even since ages past. It wasn't good for my son to live alone. So this is wonderful stuff. But let's go back and read it again from the sixth verse of the eighth chapter and read it all the way through. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord into his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. Isn't that wonderful how they call that the most holy place? When he is covered by her? What an adornment, huh? You think that the woman is the glory of the man? What a covering. Thank you, Jesus. For the cherubim spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark. And the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof. And they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle. And they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb. Even the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. Now here we go. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place. Notice the cherubim couldn't come out with them, could they? See, there's a difference there. See, the priests could carry it in. And the 24 elders can usher it in. But there's something so precious about the cherubim. They're part of him. If you know that cherubim, that's the mercy seat. They're made out of one piece of beaten gold. The covering, again, the adornment, if you think about it. The topper. Oh, hallelujah. But when it came to pass, when the priests come out of the holy place where the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. You think he's got his glory? Oh, you know it, huh? You think you can hear him say, and there she was descending from heaven, having the glory of God? Praise God. Yes, rejoice in these things. And again, I say rejoice. But here we go. You know, they bring that ark into the Holy of Holies, the most sacred place, the most separated place, the most exalted place, the very heart, the intimate place of the love of God. But isn't it wonderful that wasn't too long thereafter, that once that's set there, the Shekinah glory, it starts to hum and radiate, doesn't it? And when that starts to go, see, it fills up. Glory fills up the house of the Lord. That always reminds me kind of like mama's home. I'm sorry to say it that way. But, you know, and when she's home, and when she's home with her precious husband, I'll tell you what, you talk about a honeymoon. There was such a passion that the priest had to leave. You better know these things. God doesn't just write these things like that. That mean nothing. Voice means something. So, brothers and sisters, again, the cherubim could not be separated from him, could it? You see, the priest could leave. Very important there. That cherubim praise God, made one with the mercy seat. Eyes upon only the mercy seat. That's why she's made that. Praise God. We know it's just His great mercy. With His love wherein we are loved. Hallelujah. So, I believe that this now will shed a little light as we go on over the next some weeks here, as the Lord allows us. But you see, brothers and sisters, this 24-elder company is separate. It's very different. And it does not share in the glory offered to the four living ones, his wife. Not only, as we'll go on to study out, and I'm sure most all know here, the 24 elders are around the throne. They're not in the midst of the throne. It is never mentioned that as it is with the four living ones. See, the four living ones, as we go through the Revelation study, they jointly call out and bring out the judgment of our Lord. It's amazing. They do jointly rule and reign together with Him. Those ones call out the different seals. It's so awesome how it all comes together. But even in the words of the 24 elders, and I do, before we leave tonight, go back over to Revelation. I think you'll find this very sweet to your heart. One time only in Revelation does, in a sense, now they do sing with different groups and all, but one time does one of the elders speak. And that's here in the fifth verse of the fifth chapter of Revelation. It says, "And when one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Now that's incredible, isn't it? I mean, what a statement. But you have to think, that's what the 24 elders, in a sense, would know. That's what they would say. That's who they would call is this precious, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. They wouldn't say the things that the Lamb's wife would say. They don't say the things that the Lamb's wife, the four living ones, say. I thank God again for the very intimate details of where they are seated, what their names mean, what they say. It all points, doesn't it? Isn't it so wonderful how the word substantiates itself? That there's no guesswork who these different ones are. There's no stretch, and there's no being rocked to and fro. It's very sound as we rightfully divide the word of God. And I do believe it is beyond, brothers and sisters, when it is rightfully divided, that, I thank God. See, there's no cracks. There's no seams in the word of God. There isn't. When it's rightfully divided, praise God, it is a sword that divides it all. And finally, in closing, and I appreciated a precious sister bringing this out again to my heart, and I hadn't heard it for some time. It was like I heard it again for the first time. Even think of this. There's 24 ribs in the human body. 24. Did you know that? Unless you have one missing. You got 24. And how precious that is. It just, even in its type to us, God speaking us even in His own, in His own creation. And you think about how that sleep came upon Adam. And it was a rib type. It was a type of a rib because it was a rib that was taken out of him. But it wasn't all of them. It was just one. And isn't it amazing there's 24 still left? And isn't it amazing that that rib doesn't exist as a rib? She's a body, like unto his own. Oh, she's different, all right. She happens to be the woman who is the glory of man. What do you think? Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he just beautiful? He loves us, doesn't he? Yeah, and I thank God because, that's all glorious in itself, isn't it? If that was it, I would just say, oh, thank you, Jesus. But we've only just begun. Isn't that precious? So, brothers and sisters, I glory in his precious body, don't you? Every joint, so perfectly fit. God put them specifically in the body as he saw fit. Isn't that wonderful? And as Jesus Christ said, oh, it's not of me to give. It's of my Father. Huh? He saw us in Christ. He saw us, praise the Lord, in this precious truth. And there couldn't be anything more pleasing to him in believing this, because it's impossible to please God without faith. So I can do the inverse of that and say, my goodness, Lord, you mean that most holy faith? That I could believe you all the way into the midst of the throne? Magnificent. Magnificent. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise the Lord.